And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano.
And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup.
Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network. Pete Gray here, along with Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're having a great time here with two of the best in the biz, Eric Sheets from Cal's Custom Reels and Wes Kogan from Ken's Custom Reels. Good times here and talking amazing guru maintenance here.
Yeah, just information in total, like I said, You couldn't have said it better. The two very best when it comes to reels, making them better, fixing them, tricking them out, making them better than they were before. That's what these two guys do, and so stoked that we've got another full hour of talking about, you know, how to make your reel better for you. And, you know, that's the other thing that both of these guys can do is whatever it might be, whether it be making the reel free spool better or changing the gear ratio or doing a different handle or, you know, or having Wes do that, you know, we were talking about a little bit during, you know, you mentioned his Torque 40 doing the metered spectra so a guy knows exactly where his jig is or whatever it might be. These guys handle everything there is when it comes to that, and this is just going to be another awesome hour coming our way, and really pumped to get to do it. If you want to join us in that second hour, 213-432-1090 is our phone number. It's been a very busy morning. We do have an open phone line. Like I said, the full first hour of the show, there wasn't a single line available, but we do have one open right now, 213-432-1090, and keep those texts coming on that Let's Talk Hookup app. Yeah. We mentioned it before. Great prize, too. Both a caller and a texter at the end of the show are each going to win a $25 gift certificate to Cal's Custom Built Reels and a $25 gift certificate to Ken's Custom Reels. Both of you guys are going to win.
No coin flip today.
That's so cool. Yeah, I'm really generous of these guys.
Now you have a great text, huh?
I thought so. This is one for both Eric and for Wes. It says, guys, can you each give us one of your favorite simple maintenance suggestions to keep the longevity out of our reels? That's from Brad in San Diego.
Let me see what I got. I love having a fresh a bottle of spray bottle, fresh water there on the boat with me when we're sitting there, and it's not generally a maintenance, but it's you get all the salt crystals and everything else like that on your reels if you're a guy that's not putting the covers on, like we talked about covers earlier and stuff like that. If you're a guy that has
really
them
helps,
off,
huh?
Fresh water is great.
Yeah.
Yep. Motion. Motion, when you're done with the trip, you know, you rinse your reels off and you put them back in your bag and you leave them for months and they get corroded.
That's a great point.
The one thing we like to tell everybody to do is put them somewhere where you're going to walk by them for a couple weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks.
Oh.
And just, if it moves, move it. When you walk by them, grab them, pick them up, turn the handle, lever the lever, you know, make everything move. Because that salt...
Because even just washing it off might...
Well, the salt's still there. You can't get all the salt out of it.
You're not pulling the side plate off when you rinse the rinse it with the garden hose.
So the motion keeps the salt from being able to take a set and get started in its corrosion process.
Yeah.
You know, so motion is your friend after the trip.
My biggest problem, one of the reasons I often emergency called Wes was for exactly that. I took good care of my reels. I spray them off. I feel like I clean them as much as any guy would or should. But then when I was done with the trip and I was done with my maintenance, they would go into the reel bag, and it's long range stuff that, you know, would get used once or twice a year, and so you don't look at it, and then all of a sudden a month before the trip you pull that bag down and that reel that was working perfect, now the handle is stiff or it didn't free spool like it was. And Wes and Ken gave us that tip, and that's the best thing ever. Like,
rust never sleeps.
When you're done, just put your reel
evil.
Yep.
Put your reel bag on your coffee table, and at the end of the night when you're watching the dumb show, pull every reel out, turn the handle a few times, kick it in a free spool, turn the clicker on, and it just takes two turns of the handle and all reels. The whole process takes you 5 minutes.
Yep.
But if you do that every night for a week or two and then button it up, then everything seems to work just fine.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
a really good one.
So that's,
totally.
That's a good tip. And the spray bottle's good, and the reel cover's good. All good stuff. Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump into the phones, Rick.
You got that, buddy. How about we talk to Brian from Wildomar? We tried it once before. We got you now, Brian?
Oh, you guys got me now?
There you go, buddy. Good morning.
Pick me up. All right, gotcha. Cool. Guys, I'm looking to purchase an anchovy reel, something I can cast a country mile gingerly. What do you guys recommend, and what would you do to trick it out?
Ooh, good question.
Well, an anchovy reel, I would take one of the small models, Star Drag, whether it be your Pen Fathom, your Shimano
Trinidad
or Torium, one of those little small, the 12, or, you know, Pen even makes a Fathom 10 now, I think, in their two-speed model. That any one of those little ones that's going to be able to cast an anchovy, you know, something that can spin and allow that to roll.
Now, you guys talked about a little bit on the surface iron side of things in the beginning, but you also like big fish fishing and heavy drag. Like, where do you stand on an anchovy size reel with a lever drag? Do you still like the lever because you guys make them free spool well and you have an option of a two speed when you do hook a big fish? Or do you like staying with a Star Drag because you get that killer lightweight, no drag?
It's a little of both. I mean, I think you've got to consider your surroundings of if you have a chance for something that ends up bigger, that you would need a lever drag. Like, I do have one of those 10XNs, two speeds, and you know, you don't find as need for fishing that one as much with having a two speed, but I have fished it as light as down to like 20 pound test and stuff like that on a two speed.
I'm in that little stuff. I really like the Star Drag model.
Sure.
You know, Ken fishes those little torque reels to no end, and he gets bit better than most that I know, you know, and there's a reason for that.
I don't think you can possibly beat, for me, a Trinidad 14A. Like, that thing is just
pretty
my
awesome.
Chove reel.
Right.
It will be for life. You know,
great free spool.
Outside of a Newell 220, I don't know that there's ever anything that could cast an anchovy better than that.
Yeah,
and you don't have to replace the drags every 15 minutes in it, so it's pretty slick.
And what kind of rod are you going to put on? If you're going to cast an anchovy, you're going to stick with a glass rod, like the old school,
right?
Huh?
196.7L.
Yeah. They still make them?
Sure.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still around.
Cool.
The CalStar.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, it'll be fun. The albacore cycle will cycle back around at some point. It's just how our oceans work. I'm in no rush for it. I love what we're doing right now, but it will happen. We will be back to fishing Chovy. We will be fishing 25 pound again. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, like, all the stuff that has happened since the last time we had to fish an anchovy. Like, you know, there's all those GG series of rods that CalStar makes where it's a higher percentage of glass than graphite, but there's still the combination of the two. Will it go back to fishing 220s and 196s? Like, I can't wait. It's going to be fun to see where the, you know, technology's pushed so far already with big fish and two speeds and rail rods. Like, it'll be fun to see when we go back the other direction how technology, you know, pushes that stuff too.
For sure.
It'll be fun.
For sure. Hey, Dennis in L.A. says, I know Eric fishes Cedros and our at Cedro Sport Fishing, and our group is going again in September. My question is, what setups Eric takes, and if Rick could chime in too, it's a common point of discussion with our little group when we get together.
All right, so I just got back about 10 days ago from Cedros, and I took four reels with me. I took two small tranks with me. I think a 300 and a 400, something like that is the numbers I took, or equivalent is the Fathom low profile. Then I also took two they were the black models of the Fathoms. I took a 15XN with me, and then a 25, and I just took those four reels and, you know, ended up using the tranks 90% of the time. You know, we had one day it was my son, my daughter, and the captain. We stopped. We just couldn't fish anymore. We had 188 calico that day. We really wanted to get to 200. Yeah, we really wanted to get to 200, and we just put our head down and said,
"You waved the white flag."
Waved the white flag and just went on in.
That's so good. That's a lot of fish.
We had other days where we caught some really nice halibut and some yellowtail and stuff like that too, and got to go all different kinds of area, whether it's down to over like Chester's Rock or
Trinidad
and stuff like that, out of the West End, out where there's some like a lobster camp and stuff like that out there too, which was really cool.
Yeah,
so that's what we take.
Super fun. Yeah, super easy place to get to too. When you just like Bill was talking about Sage Hill Sport Fishing and Rosie taking you right to the plane. It's like your own private plane, literally.
It is crazy how easy it is.
Yeah, right.
And I know she makes it look that way, but she, I mean all the logistics that she takes care of and everything else like that was really good.
It's not that way at the other places.
Well, that's what I hear.
Yeah, for sure. Let's jump back on the phone.
You got it, buddy. How about we talk to John? He's called us from Colorado Springs. What's up, John? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, guys. You have such a great show. I was wanting to ask Eric if I got a TAC 12 that I like to use because it's really not, it's light for me. What can you do to that TAC 12?
So we do go through and blueprint those, where we go through and, you know, machine the cams and the stainless plate and build them up. A lot of guys are fishing heavier line on them, so we can go ahead and get you, you know, even though they get great free spool out of the box and stuff, get you just a little bit more out of them. And I know the same thing like when Wes does them too, that you're taking a mass produced reel and you're just putting a lot of TLC into it, fine tuning the whole thing, seeing just little imperfections and stuff like that. And that's what we both can do to the reels.
You know, in my experience, a lot of these reels, a lot of these manufacturers, they make them to where they grease them up pretty good because they figure you're never going to maintain them.
Yeah, sure.
And so a lot of times getting,
they must be looking at my reels.
Yeah. A lot of times getting some of that grease out and properly oiling in certain spots makes a big difference.
And you got to know what you're getting too. I mean, I'm sure you guys both would go over that with a guy. Like, you can make a reel operate like a Ferrari, or you can make it operate like an F-250, and both of those things are the right for somebody else. I joked about the, you know, a Blake reel that, you know, lived on the boat its whole life. Like, that reel doesn't need to free spool for 25 minutes, but it does need to last under the harshest conditions.
Yes.
And you can build it towards that direction, or you can build it towards the most tricked out best free spool, but it's not going to have that same protection level that something that's slopped full of grease either.
Right.
You guys know the balance there within, and you know your customers there with it. You know, like that's why you go to a custom shop.
And there's, you know, and there's different budgets that a guy has. There's also different fishing abilities too. All of that stuff is goes into effect, and then where he's going. I mean, you guys get tired of hearing me where I talk about every year, every time that I get a guy come into the shop. I probably spend way more time than I need to, but talking. But I want to know where he's fishing, what he's doing, what everything else like that. And trust me, that comes way back at you. As far as you're not overselling a guy, you're selling. You can figure out what he likes and what is best for his situation.
Wes can make a real free spool better than I can handle. You know what I mean? Like, you just, it's all about figuring out where it needs to be.
Yeah.
213-432-1090 just open up right now. I have a question. So when you get a reel, do you do anything to it? When you get a brand new reel, do you do anything to it?
Like a reel for Wes's personal arsenal?
Is Wes going to open it up and take the grease out or what?
No, honestly, I'm going to go fish it and find out what it's like out of the box first, to be quite honest with you. And then go from there and then take it apart and see what I can change inside if necessary or to make it a little better, or again, just properly lube and get rid of some of the lube depending on where it is.
A lot of the manufacturers have made their saltwater protection better. Like Shimano has that new EI protection for their reels. Have you seen a difference in the quality of or I should say the sustainability of reels than they used to be as far as against saltwater?
Oh yeah. The technology has come so far. I mean, when I started, we had Jigmasters and those old pen stuff,
plastic stuff.
I had one little tiny parts box.
Yeah,
right. You know, now I've got a whole parts bench basically. And the reels, the anodizing and everything about these reels nowadays has just come through the roof. And a lot of it stems from the Spectra, the introduction of Spectra. The manufacturers had to make these reels smaller, stronger, bigger drags because the Spectra allows that.
Yeah.
Now, that has nothing to do with the anodizing, obviously.
Right.
But as technology grows, we see it a lot.
Okay.
Cool. That's awesome. All right, hey, another great text came through. It says, morning, guys. I've had my reels serviced by Ken's for years, and I've also had a Fathom 60 and a 30 blueprinted this year at Cal's. In addition to a better handle on my 60, it was a huge improvement. My question is, what is the proper way to clean a reel after a fishing trip to maximize its longevity? That's from Jim at Oceanside.
If I'm fishing one of the bigger boats, here's what I'm doing is I'm taking the when I get done with the trip, I'm taking the reels off. If it's a little bit longer trip, some of these shorter trips, you're fishing till late in the night and you're getting in, but at least that's what I was doing. Okay, so when I take the reel off, I've been cleaning them with a little bit of fresh water there on the boat. Again, take them then outside, turn the handle, shift them back and forth.
Real quick, not to be too cleaning them in the sink, cleaning with the hose,
a little bit of
bottle.
How's the
fresh water?
Good point. Yeah, in the sink on one of these long range boats, mm-hmm. cleaning them that way, and then just kind of rubbing my hands over just all the little salt crystals and trying to get some of that stuff off. Then I will wipe them and try to let them dry. If I'm in a boat that has a stateroom, I'll put them down in my stateroom and let them just sit on one of my towels and dry that way. If I don't have that, if it's a shorter trip, I could put them back in the bag and be able to, as soon as I get home, get them back out of those bags, clean those bags because they've got good salt crystals in them and everything else like that. And then from there, you could use any one of the Corrosion-X, Salt-X, those kind of things, and clean those. But like Wes
you
was talking,
spray that on, or
I usually spray it like onto a rag and then just kind of wipe them down from there. But then what Wes was saying about turning the handle, lever, everything else like that until you're good and dry, and not keeping them in a bag until that process is finished.
Yeah. When you talk about having a fresh water spray bottle mm-hmm. on the boat when you spray your reel,
sure.
do you ever put salt like a
oh yeah
no,
great
salt
great
like
I haven't.
And Wes is going no, don't do it. Why? Why?
I've seen too much of that stuff mix inside the reels,
and
some of that stuff does weird things with the greases and different oils.
Breaks them down.
You'd be surprised.
So don't use that stuff.
Well, not in a spray. In a wipe down situation, like Eric's saying, no worries.
But what do you do?
We no high pressure water, mm-hmm. Like the sink thing, like he said, or a spray bottle. And then the motion thing, but what we use afterwards at the shop we like is the T9. It's made by Boeing, mm-hmm. and it's a wax base. And so we like to just, cover the line.
The T9 bow shield.
Bow shield, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that we just will do a little spray on the reel, cover the line, do a little shot and brush it around on the reel, and then wipe it all off. And that gives it a nice little protection.
That's like an exterior film, just another protective layer.
Yeah, very much.
Okay. Do you sell that at the shop?
Yes.
The T9 bow shield?
Definitely, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Boeing has a little bit of R&D money, so we figure that's...
You think?
Yeah. Pretty good.
We hope anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Jim in Thousand Oaks says, best reel conversion for huge bluefin, best reel and conversion for huge bluefin at PEI, Prince Edward Islands.
We all sit back. Everybody sits back.
Eyeballs are on me, right?
Oh, okay.
So we've tried all different kinds of reels out there, and lots of them work. We've fished anywhere from big duels where you got the handles that go forwards and backwards. That's
cool.
Kind of a trick to fish those. We fish, me and my buddies, we all fish Penn 70 VISs, the newer versions. We fish those with a lower low set of gears and like the 130 handle on a big long one like that. Filled almost to the top, full of braid, and just go that route. We have it set up on the VI series, on the new Penn VI series. They have these adjustable stops that you can put. So when my dad was going, we would put two different stops on them. So we get to the first stop, which is about 30, 35 pounds of drag, so he can fish that. And then I would push the button down and go up to around 50 pounds of drag at the second stop. And then if we get one that's circling and it's just heavy, not really pulling on you, you could actually go from there all the way up to full, where we're getting about 70 pounds of drag.
Jeez. That's so crazy. That's crazy.
Well, let's jump back on the phones, Rick.
You got it. How about we talk to Charles? He's got us from Dana Point this morning. Good morning, Charles. Welcome to Let's Talk Hook Up.
Morning, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
We got you, buddy. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, I love your show, Matt. It really takes me down memory lane. My question here comes about overcoming the centrific force. And, you know, you're talking about the albacore and the fire line and all that. But I was very young, my grandfather,
We have a really bad connection, so we're gonna have to roll.
You're just getting enough bits and pieces, but not enough to quite get you. Hopefully, you're able to get us a call back, and we can get a better line and hear from you. In the meantime, however, we are gonna find out what's biting out there. We got our fishdope.com report by the angler's realtor himself, Yusuf Husseini's on the line, and today it's sponsored by Summit Gasoline, San Diego's at the San Diego Sports Arena. It is the place to fill up your car, truck, or boat with the lowest gas and diesel prices. Did you know that Summit is the place to get the lowest prices on ice and snacks as well for your trip? 25 cents for your first 5-pound bag of ice, or
3.99.
Let's see, lowest price for your beer and snacks for your trip, and let's see,
it's $3.99 for a 25-pound bag, and that's the lowest price that you'll find anywhere.
That's less than half of a place that that I know very well.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Fisherman's Learner.
Yeah, that's unreal.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
And as always, the deal for our Let's Talk Hookup listeners,
it's 25, not 20.
Right.
That's another point.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And how about for your first bag? That's just unbelievable. 25 cents for your first one. They sell
more ice, obviously, because of what they do. They make their own ice, and they sell more. They make their own gourmet ice, and they sell more ice than anybody in the
Let's put it this way. That number was so low that I had to reread. I had to reread it two times. I'm not about to tell somebody that it's half the price that it's supposed to be. I was worried that I was reading something that was so low that I'm like, oh, I'm going to get in trouble, and they're going to have to start selling bags of ice for $3. No, that's really what they're doing. So as you can hear, it's just the best. Summit Gasoline. They also do Kirkland products at lower prices in the store that makes them. They have dozens of great snacks for just 89 cents. It's so much more than just the killer deals on ice. Summit Gasoline, free ice for Let's Talk Hookup listeners, and always low prices at the San Diego Sports Arena. It's just the best. Hey, we're going to find out what's going on. We got our fishdope.com reporter, Yusuf, on the line. Good morning, Yusuf.
Good morning, guys. Hope you're doing well.
Doing great. How's the fishing?
It's drying up a little bit here. I'm going to start out up north, up in the Channel Islands, around Santa Rosa Island. The squid has really dried up, and that's good sea bass and halibut fishing is pretty much gone. The weather is up as well, so it's not really a reason to be up there. Santa Cruz Island, the east end of the island, is really good for barracuda right now. There's tons of boats out there catching them on surface iron, and it's been a very good bite. Catalina Island, big yellowtail on the eastern backside from Salta Verde to the east end. Your best bet is to find some mackerel and use live mackerel because there is no more squid. The Pacific carnage is back home in San Pedro, where it'll stay for a little while. San Clemente Island, yellowtail fishing has been very good, as long as there is some downhill current, which is what it always takes at San Clemente. Horseshoe has been really good for sand bass fishing with live or fresh dead squid. The flats down in IB is starting to go again. Most of these fish are in the mud. Really good sand bass fishing.
All your buddies.
Coronado Island.
I was just going to say, it sounds like that bass fishing has been like back to the old days.
Yeah.
Right? You said, like, down in IB there?
That's what it sounded like from what Danny was telling me. I might head down there and check it out this afternoon. But yeah, it's a great bite. All the fish are in the mud. Coronado's, the water dropped pretty dramatically. It's 65 degrees. Bikes shut down quite a bit. You guys still catching some yellows over there, but it's not like it was. Offshore is just ridiculous. About a 30-mile radius from the 499 up around Catalina and Clemente, there's fish out there from 40 pounds to 200 pounds, and they are just thick. So go find them, boys.
Yeah, your brother's been on them, huh?
Oh, he's been crushing them.
Yeah.
Yesterday was a little bit of an off day, but the day before, I think they got six. That's over 200.
That's because Wheeler was out.
Yeah.
But hey, Yusuf, how's the real estate game? Interest rates starting to come down a little bit, and things are changing a little bit in the economy.
100%, guys. If you were going to buy a home, it's time. We're seeing the interest rates turn, and they are going to start dropping. What that means is everybody's going to start buying. So jump on it. Give me a call.
Yeah.
619-277-2169, or get me at Cal Realty on Instagram, or SoCalHomeEval.com.
Thanks, Joseph. Appreciate that report. Great Fish Dope Dot report, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Sounds great, guys. Have a great evening.
All right.
Appreciate that. I want to remind you, you can save $30 off of a new subscription to fishdope.com by using the code HOOKUPNOW. It's all lowercase, no space. Saves you $30 on that new subscription. And, man, we sure appreciate that. So much killer info. That report, again, is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the brand new and easier online system to book processing for your long-range trips. Now, with the addition of new team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity, the finest customer service. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure to make your reservations today.
For sure. All right. Hey, I have a great text here that came through from Eric in Menifee. And Eric writes, bring it up here, that friend told me to spray down my reels with WD-40, then wipe off with a rag on every trip. Is this excessive maintenance with WD-40? Wes?
Well, I've seen a lot of that over the years, and I mean, it works, but, you know.
Again, you were talking about spraying stuff on. You're better off spraying it on the rag and wiping it.
Right, definitely.
Because you don't want that stuff to get inside. Eric?
I was going to say, I think it leaves a little bit of a shellac on the reels, that WD-40, which I'm not as much of a fan. I have a product that we use. I can't remember the name of it right now, but that and the
T9 Bow Shield.
Yeah, those work great.
Yeah. So he also wants to know if it affects the specter of the mono.
I haven't seen that it does.
Not the mono, for sure. No. You know, a lot of those old-time guys used to spray WD-40 on their mono on purpose.
Right, exactly. It gets, like, bit better.
Yeah, it's like the attractor.
Yeah,
as an attractor.
I'm always worried about it. Like, WD-40, like, I grew up, like, that was like a, if you didn't have a brake cleaner, like, WD-40, you sprayed on a grease spot, like, on the floor, and it cleans.
Yeah, exactly.
It, like, cleans and breaks up grease so much, but, like, grease is a good thing inside the reel, so we always grew up not using WD-40 for that reason. Like, we never wanted to like dissipate the grease that was on the gears and doing the things it was hoping to protect them.
I was going
to
say WD-40 and duct tape got a lot of problems.
Don't get me wrong. I'm a WD-40 fan. I just don't know that I'm spraying it on my reel after every trip.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, for sure.
How about this great text? Good morning, guys. I have a I was wondering if you had any recommendations for me on doing a couple of upgrades. My two favorite reels right now are my Fathom 40 and my Tranx 500. What do you got for me?
Well, send the Fathom 40 to Eric, have him do his thing
right,
to it.
And then you send the Tranx to there you go, right?
And I can take care of the Tranx and get it flying for you.
Yeah, yeah, and we can get you set up. Or I would say give each one of us a call, and we can kind of figure out what's good for you. And we probably have a couple different options as far as on the Fathom part of it. It's one of my favorite reels. And like I said, when I did the Sadros thing, I love my Tranx, so.
Tranx is the best. What size is your favorite?
For down there doing what I'm doing, I think it's the 300.
300 is such a great reel. They're all good, right?
Right.
Everything from the 150 to the 500.
Right. That. Yeah. I like that 300 with a super light rod out there.
Yes.
And we're out there fishing. My son had a heavier outfit, and then I was taking a break, and he tried mine. He goes, "Oh my gosh, this is all the difference in the world. The lighter rod, and the lighter reel, and everything else like that."
So. But I've got some big fish on that Tranx 300.
Uh-huh.
It'll handle it.
That's a big one, Corey says.
Yeah. For Corey, that's a giant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a giant. Hey, Nick in Chula Vista says, I saved my dad's old Penn International 30W on the shelf ornament. Is it something that should be modernized and go out on the water?
A little of both. I mean, it's sometimes it's kind of hard to justify putting the more money back into that old reel that's big and wide. You know, nowadays with braid, you can fit so much braid on there. That being said, I talked to a guy yesterday, and he had an old Pen 20. It was a single speed, and I tried to talk him out of doing anything to it. And he says, well, hey, it was my dad's reel. He's got sentimental value to it and stuff like that, and he really wanted just to get it as best as he could, and he didn't know how much he was going to use it, but he really wanted to keep his dad's legacy going and everything else like that, and I get it.
Yeah. So you can fix things like
you
that.
You can. Yeah.
That's good.
Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More great information just like that. More phone calls and texts as well. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
The fish are biting and it's time to go. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay, or maybe in front of the shop on my kayak. It doesn't matter if you are out there on a kayak with me, on your boat, headed out on a sport boat. Dana Landing has everything you need. We call it the one-stop shop for a great day on the water, because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by John, is certainly one of the best. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. These guys have the best rods and reels and the hottest lures and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, with a great stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. Check out danalanding.com for more details.
Hey, this is Rosie with Sagro Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader with all-inclusive fishing trips to Sagros Island. We now have two lodges to choose from, and both sit on the cliff edge with relaxing ocean views and gorgeous morning sunrises. With direct flights departing to the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Sagros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at sagrosportfishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslanderSportFishing.com.
Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rockod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me, book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Been very busy, as you could imagine, having these two boys in here. But if you want to get through, there's an opportunity, 213-432-1090. That's how you reach Wes. That's how you reach Eric. That's how you get the best information that you're ever going to get, having these two boys sitting here right now on Saltwater Reels.
Let's jump in the phone.
Sounds good to me. How about we talk to Arnie, who's got us from Vista this morning. Hey, Arnie, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great to hear you on the show. Yeah, I got to say, Wes, you guys are the magician. I sit there and had full-on conversation with that guy while I watch him blow a reel all the way apart and put it all the way back together. He's just amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
I had a quick question, okay? I'm kind of looking for a reel to fish like 80 to 100. Now, the fathoms look really good. The fathom two, the larger ones. Am I better off going with that, or is it better to move up to a VISX, guys?
Both can be accomplished exactly what you want. They're obviously different price ranges. It all depends on what you're looking for. I mean, if we're talking about, is it for like knife jig, bluefin, all that kind of stuff? So I fish three different reels for that. I use the Fathom 60 narrow, I use a 16 VISX pen, and I also use my Talica 20. Those are the three reels that I like best for that application. We could sit around the table here, we all have a little bit different of what we all like, but those are the three I've used, and I've had very good success with all of them. All of them are different price range, all of them you can get different performances out of them. But they will all definitely do the job. Now you get some of the guys that are saying, well, maybe you go down to a Fathom 40 size reel or, you know, one of those types. So there's
Wes, you have input on that?
I couldn't have said it any better. Perfect.
Yeah. What about the new Talica 20A?
I'm going to check one out today.
Oh, are you?
Today.
Okay.
Gone through some of the smaller ones before, and we do like them. Yeah.
Wes, where do you sit on, because you've done a lot of it and caught a lot of big fish, where do you sit on the, you know, trying to decide between a reel that is comfortable in your hands to jig with all night but still capable of a big one? You know, no doubt when you're attached to a big fish, a bigger reel makes the job easier, and when you're standing at the rail all night, a smaller reel sure is a hell of a lot nicer to be fishing with and jigging with. Like, where do you stand on the nighttime night jig fishing that's going on right now?
Well, one thing about that whole night jig thing is if you're fishing with a big reel, there's no need to do all the jigging stuff and all that with your big reel. Pull it from the rack, set it on the rail, put it in free spool, get it in the zone,
right,
wind it up. It, all these guys that say these big reels are too heavy for them in this nighttime thing, it's a simple deal. You set it on the rail and let the rail hold it for you.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
But if you're doing that jigging thing, man, that those smaller reels are sure a lot more comfortable to fish with. But it's based on the size of the fish.
Sure.
You know, you got to have something that can land what you're targeting.
For sure.
Right now, with a high percentage of the fish at nighttime being in excess of 100 pounds, you know, 120 to 200 pounders, what would be your favorite reel that you'd go in the water with for a knife jig? And then same question for you, Eric.
Probably.
Knowing that you're probably going to hook a fish that, let's say, is a 150 pounder, a big one.
A 16 or a 20 VISX International, or a 20 or a 25 Talica, something mm-hmm. like that, that's going to have some substantial drags
bigger,
in it.
And bigger reel, aluminum body.
Yes, very okay. much so, you know.
Yeah, I'd say similar reels to that. I am a big fan of that Fathom 60 once we've gone through it.
Uh-huh.
So it may need a little work out of the box and stuff like that too, but I've been able to, like on mine was nothing different than anybody's after they get it back, but I set 25 at strike and then I had 47 at full just on that, and I put a longer handle on it. Made it much more stable. That and the Talica 20, I mean, nowadays the way you can stack your braid, I don't know that you need a 25. Most of the guys are still mm-hmm. using a 25, but a 20's been fine for me. I do like those ones too.
Those Fathoms, man, you can't beat those for the money. That's for sure. Holy cow.
That was going to be my other question is, what do you like better, a Fathom, which the initial price tag is a lot less, but, you know, you got to pay Eric to make it right, and now you're... Now with the money that you've invested to get it there, you're up to the same cost as a Talica or an International. Do you like that Fathom that then has been hot rodded by the boys and is in perfect shape? Or do you like the quote-unquote higher-end reel, but it hasn't had any aftermarket done to it?
Yeah, everybody's going to have a different take on
sure.
that, you know, out
yeah.
there, whether it's your car, pickup truck, whatever it is, whether you need to get the top-of-the-line one or you customize one that's
sure.
not there. So it's whatever's good for the customer. Yeah.
Sounds good. Hey, I've got a great text here from Don and Chino, because this is a product I really like, Corrosion X. I use it on my boat all the time. I really like it. He wants to know, is it good to wipe your reels down with Corrosion X?
Yeah. Again, the wiping thing, not
don't spray
spraying it to where it's getting inside the reel, but wiping it to protect the outer shell of the reel. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Yeah. So you like that product.
You know, and again,
but you still went
on the boat, too.
On a
you know?
Choice, if you had Corrosion X in one hand and BoatShield T9 in the other.
T9 for us.
T9 for you.
All day, yeah.
Now, why?
It's a little bit better protectant in our world. The wax that's in it. When you wipe it down, wipe it off, it leaves that little bit of a waxy coating.
Okay.
And it's a really nice deal, especially on the boat. I know, Rick, on your skiff, I would assume you guys use that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
I know this sounds dumb. Corrosion X has, like, gotten us...
Stuff.
Our battery... Like, we had... Like, our batteries and our Parker in our bilge, and we were always fighting corrosion, terminal issues, things like that. Now it's like our routine when we're done fishing and we're done with the boat the other day. I mean, we're not soaking it or holding, but the quickest
yeah.
on where our terminals are and our battery switch,
yep.
we eliminated the problem. We used to fight it all the time, and like
because it really does help eliminate the corrosion.
Dude,
yeah,
they don't swim in it.
The same idea with Bow Shield, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sure. Yeah, but the only problem with corrosion XRSA is it's a little messy. You have to have a little rag to kind of make sure.
Yeah,
and Bow Shield is not right.
Well, it can be. It's a liquid. Like anything else.
I hear all this and I start thinking to myself, like, that's the one thing I don't like about having these guys on here is I realize, like, man, I sure could be treating my reels better. Like, I haven't wiped a reel down with an aftermarket product. Like, the next time I wipe one of my reels down with Bow Shield will be the first time. Like, I'm a freshwater guy.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of get the garden hose and the dock box at the end of the day. They get dried by getting shaken off in the back of the truck on the way home. And then I call Wes and be like, help, dude, I screwed up. You know,
yeah,
like,
I violated so many rules when I got off the Royal Star on that last 4-day trip. Wait a minute. So I did do one thing well. I took them off and I put them in the sink and I washed them with fresh water.
Right.
Then I put them right back in the bag without turning the handles and stuff. I better go home and check them out.
So
right?
Just do this. You know you got some time before your next trip. Just give them to these boys now, knowing that you won't be in a hurry when your next trip comes. And then you're
that
all
so easy, right?
Yeah.
So it never works out that way.
So it's like, okay, I violated so many of Wes's America's rules here. So.
Thank God for the new coatings on the reels. I'm not great at spraying. But again, these guys are the best, and they're best for the reason.
Yeah.
Hey, had another great text come through. It says, good morning, gents. I'm an extremely happy customer of Ken's and with Wes in particular, who does great work on all of my reels. I'd like his thoughts. I'm thinking of buying an Akuma Alejos 12 for the fact that it has a 2-to-1 low gear. Also for Eric, should I consider sending my Avett JX Raptor or TAC 12 up to you guys for a lower low gear? Again, and I love the reel cover tip from the beginning of the show. That's from Ted in San Diego.
You know, the gearing that you're trying to get is available by sending any reel to Eric or any of the ones that they work on. The Alejos is a decent product. The Okuma stuff has come a long way from the old Okuma mental. What do you think, Eric?
You know, we did a project with Okuma several years ago where they were having a couple problems with that reel, with the Alejo series, and we got it in and analyzed the whole situation. Basically, nowadays, it's just like their Mercuris, those reels. They put an extra bearing in it to be able to support it for turning the handle and the drag pressure and all that other stuff like that. They are much better than they were.
Mm-hmm.
Much, much better. In fact, I stock those. I have those new, tricked out, ready to go at the shop. That's what we've had to do because we're so far behind. We've done all kinds of different reels, whether it's Fathoms or Internationals and stuff like that, too. So, but it's a good product. Now, the question was about a lower gears or something he was asking?
Yeah, I think he liked the idea of that reel because of the low gear and whether it was worthy of putting lower low gears into his smaller reels as well.
Lower gears is really, it really is personal. Some guys are young and super strong, and they definitely don't need the lower low-speed gears. Other guys are getting up there in age, and so every little bit helps. And the rest of us are all kind of somewhere in the middle where it's you like that. You like to be able to get a lot of line at one time. So it depends on that. Yeah.
I think you need to keep in mind, not that it's a knock towards putting lower low gears into reels, because you're right. It will always make it easier to turn the handle. That part is a fact. It always will. But with a smaller spool like a Talica 12 or something, you got to think about the amount of line that's coming in on a reel that's that size. When it's a 70 International, it's a 1-to-1. You're still wrapping a lot of line because it's a big diameter. But a bass reel that's got a spool the size of a quarter, you know, an extra one or two times of the handle, like you're only talking gains of an inch or two.
Well, and I usually try to have guys concentrate more on inches per turn of the handle rather than ratios. You know, you can have a tiny little reel that says 6-to-1, 7-to-1, and just like what you were saying, you can get a big, huge reel that's 1-to-1. Well, you know, you're just dealing with inches per line on each reel.
Sure,
for sure. Well, let's jump into the phones, Rick.
You got it. How about we talk to Hills calling us from Ventura this morning? What's up, Hills? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Reel Gurus. What a great show. During the daytime, after I sort of put away the knife jig gear, you know, the heavier stuff, I like to fish my, like, toriums and tranks. And I remember Mike Pritchard was on the radio, and he was like, oh, no, they hooked it on the Torium. And I was like, how big of a fish do you think I can get on the Torium? Because sometimes I finally land the thing, and then I pull on the drag, and the drag's, like, loose. Is it loose because it gets hot, or... And an older, better fisherman told me you should slowly tighten your drag during your fight. What do you think about this?
Well,
the
Torium,
how big
that.
Of a fish can you catch?
The Torium's a nice reel with a good drag system. I mean, you've worked on a lot of them, right? I haven't heard that issue.
Great drag system. And,
yeah.
And the size of the fish is all relative to your patience, I guess
sure.
you could say.
Yeah.
You
sure.
know?
Yeah. And tightening the drag while you're fighting the fish, that's a personal choice, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times you don't want it to be too loose, but you also don't want it to be too tight. So if you have too light a drag, give it a little, see what happens, right?
I think what his old-timer friend was getting at was as the fish tires, you can give it a little more, and that's definitely a tried-and-true process.
Absolutely, yeah. Like the old days with a lever drag reel, just inch it up a little bit more.
Always grown up hearing, you know, the reels, when you store them and you're done fishing, drag has to be backed off and put, you know, when you put it away in storage. What is the reason for that, and is that still the case?
Good question.
Is that the same way with star drags and lever drags? Is it the same way everything? What's the...
Yeah, those two... Okay, so let's go with star drags first. So, yes, I back mine off. They are a stack that...
Back your drag off when you're finished fishing. When it's dry, do you need to wait till it's dry or not necessarily?
I keep it tight when I'm actually putting a little bit of water on it and stuff like that and cleaning it, but the second I'm done with that, I'm backing it off. Now, lever drags is entirely different. It's entirely different. There is no reason to back your preset off of that. I generally, like on a reel that I have, I will put the clicker on and then back off the lever. Reason being is I won't just have this big ball of line. Some people will take like a rubber band and they'll put that over the foot part on the reel and just have low pressure that way. But as far as backing off a preset... on a lever drag. I don't see the need for it. What about you, Wes?
On a lever drag, as soon as you put it in free spool, the drag's backed off.
Yeah.
We see it all the time that guys come in and they've lost their drag knob because they backed their drag knob off and it fell off and went out the stepper. In a lever drag, as soon as you put it in free spool, the drag mechanism is apart, so you have no compression issues.
Rather than back the drag off, just put it in free spool.
Put it in free spool and the clicker on, like it was said. And in a star drag, the reason for that is because the drags compress.
Uh-huh.
And so once you back it off, you give them time to stay in their natural shape instead of compressing them and losing drags.
Such good information. So, right?
I mean,
absolutely. Really good. And this is the guys that work on it inside out.
So we're coming to your house, both of you guys here, and we're going to check all your reels, make sure that they've been all clean, the star drags have been backed off. And
one thing I am good about, because Dave Pfeiffer taught me this a long time ago, is backing the drags off. I'm very good about that.
My bundle is still attached exactly how it came off the boat. It got squirted off with fresh water, drags fully engaged, hooks still on the same clamp that it was before, bundled up the way that, I mean, like, I'm the worst at it. I preach it. I don't practice it. I should. It's my bad. The whole reason I know is I was grabbing a rod for Pete for using tomorrow, and I couldn't grab it this morning because we were getting the boys out of the house when I was leaving. And
it was all bundled up.
The bundle is still together. the jig is still on. The hook from the clamp drag guaranteed set to catch, boy. It's up there.
I learned something. I usually back the preset off. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to back.
No need. But
it doesn't make any sense because you just back the lever off, put the clicker on, you're good.
Yeah.
I like it. I have another one from Alex here who's calling us from San Carlos, and he says, I have a Shimano Osea Jigger 4000 that engages the clutch automatically with the turn of a handle. Can that built-in feature be removed?
Yes, I do it all the time. The older models used to have a little E-clip that we could take the mechanism apart and keep. Now they've riveted it all together, so I have to actually grind it out of there. But it's no problem. It's definitely doable. I do it all the time for guys.
So do you do that, or we send it to Wes?
That's to Wes.
Go to Wes. Okay.
And that's a smart thing. I mean, if you're going to use that reel for anything other than dropping a vertical jig, do that too for sure.
Because when you cast a surface iron or something and that handle kicks into gear, oh man, all things can happen.
Totally. Yeah. Get that done for sure. And it's a rad reel for doing other things than jigging with it. But that's a feature that for sure you want to have Wes. You want to have Wes knock out. I had a fun one too. Says, good morning, guys. My question is for either or both of you. Every time I feel like I get on a sport boat, it never fails that a crew member always wants to buy my 332 Newell. I feel like I could sell it for more than I paid for originally. What is the deal with those reels still being in demand? I won't sell it, though. Thanks for everything. Mike and Rosemead. And then he also says, hi, Eric.
Yeah, I know Mike for a lot of years. Those reels were great. Definitely not used as much. But, Cal and I haven't used a ton of Star Drag reels over the years. We've really been concentrated our part of our business and then our own using our own reels in lever drags. But I know Wes uses a lot more.
Yeah, you know, those Newells, those guys like them because they cast a jig a mile.
Yep.
The 332, like that 533, you know, those things just cast, and that's why all the deckhands want them.
Yeah, and they know how to work on them.
Well, they send them to me.
There you go.
Yeah, so are they worth more than they were originally?
Well, in the certain circles, yeah, there's the collectors guys out there that are all over those things.
Yeah, they want them.
Mm-hmm. And like, parts that go bad, that was one of the things new. Drags go bad all the time, bearings go bad all the time. You can still get drags and bearings because they used drags and bearings that were made from and for other reels. The problem is when you start to get into parts that, you know, are gears and things like that, like that's just, they have not been made for a long time.
I have a lot of that stuff from collecting that stuff over the parts.
You can put parts together
for them and whatnot. So I got a lot of that we can keep the Newells running for a lot of guys.
Man. Nothing. And again, nothing casts like a Newell. You gotta have Wes on speed dial. That's all. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out which caller and texter are each winning $25 to go to Ken's Custom Reels and Cal's Custom Built Reels. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way in the Mightier 1090, the Let's Talk Hookup app, and the Let's Talk Hookup radio network.
Offshore fishing is on. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. For bluefin tuna and yellowtail, nothing beats the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag two-speed reels. Shimano Speedmaster 2 is also an extremely durable, high-performance lever drag reel for the more budget-minded angler. Both the Talica and Speedmaster 2 feature Shimano's Hagani body to prevent misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest of load. For all your Shimano, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
It's time for the Power Pro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet. Perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Hey, San Diego. The Make It Ford Summer Sales event is on. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers now and make it your best summer yet. Amazing offers and great selection of Ford vehicles, like the Built Wild Bronco family, with a deal you just can't miss. Your biggest adventures are awaiting. Make it Ford. Make it yours. Make it now. Only at your San Diego County Ford dealers. They'll be glad to hook you up.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality, comfort, and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran Captains Mark Pisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sports Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check IndependenceSportFishing.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time to find out the big winners from the caller side. Again, $25 gift certificate to Cal's Custom Built Reels and $25 to Ken's Custom Reels. Caller side, congratulations, Chuck in Long Beach. And on the texter side, Mike calling from North County. Guys, congratulations. Nobody better than these two sitting right here. And, yeah, your reels are going to be in very good shape because of this prize.
I guess it's Mike and Jack, so we'll see who gets it, right?
Yeah. 25 to 1, 25 to the other.
Yeah, there you go. For sure. Hey, guys,
thank you so much, guys.
Wes, thank you. First time here, and I hope it's not the last. And congratulations. You and Ken are partners.
Yeah.
And that's so cool. How do we find you?
760-967-7335, or you can come up to the harbor in Oceanside, 1351 Harbor Drive North.
All right. Very good. And, of course, Eric, you and Cal?
Yep. Cal's2speed.com or 626-357-4441. And we're up in Fallbrook.
All right.
We're pretty close.
Thanks a lot for that. And thanks to Chris for manning the boards. And thanks to all the people who are making things together for us and doing everything that we want. Hey, next Saturday and Sunday, we'll be right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and 1090 AM. Chris and Jones from Blue Sea Stabilizers and Captain Brian Willie from Dana War Sport Fishing on Sunday. A couple of great shows there next Saturday and Sunday. Thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for all your support. And we'll see you next week right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.